Welcome to Food for Faith. This is John O'Connor with a reflection for the Feast of Christ the King. I've entitled this reflection, A New Realm. It was considered important for our ancestors, even until recent decades, to live within the boundaries and the safety of a kingdom. In Old Testament times, life in a kingdom, especially under a good monarch, provided security in a society of citizens where order prevailed and justice was assured. But Jesus spoke of a new kind of kingdom, where the memory of the Old Testament kings was fresh, but the oppression of the Roman Empire threatened to destroy all that was good about the Jewish monarchies. The prophets had foretold a new king who would be born of the house of David, a king who ruled wisely and well over a united kingdom 1,000 years before Jesus. It's not surprising that when the people heard the prophets foretell a new king, they expected nothing more than another king who, like good King David, would use military might and methods to bring a renewed national vigour to their divided lives and loyalties. Even the disciples of Jesus found it difficult to think beyond their limited expectation of the prophesied king. On several occasions we see them remonstrating with Jesus, "Take them by force, keep away from Jerusalem," even boldly asking if their loved ones could have places alongside Jesus in his eternal kingdom. But instead of choosing the strong, the influential and wealthy, Jesus spoke of his preference for the meek, the humble and the poor, as he steadfastly moved towards inevitable suffering and death in Jerusalem. There's a powerful poem that communicates this difference vividly. The English diplomat Cecil Spring Rice's words were later set to music by Gustav Holst, creating the popular, patriotic hymn, "I Vow to Thee, My Country." At the time of its writing, empire was everything for the British people. One century ago, the war called Great had begun, and for 4 years violence tore apart the lives of millions of people around the world. The century became the most deadly in history. "And there's another country," writes Spring Rice, "and there's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king. Her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering. And soul by soul and silently her shining bounds increase, and her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her paths are peace." Across the 20 Christian centuries, some remarkable people have embraced the reign of God as a different kind of kingdom. These powerful witnesses have reminded us that gentleness and peace, lived with fidelity of heart and intimate friendship with Jesus Christ, is the only way to truly live. Jesus did not hesitate to speak harshly to those who obstructed justice and who promoted fear as a motivation. "Get behind me, Satan," Matthew 16, and "You brood of vipers," Matthew 12. But he did not retaliate with violence and was able to work life-giving miracles with sinners who humbly expressed their need for God. The problem we have in the midst of complex 21st century pressures is that it's so easy to live as if we are building an earthly kingdom using the predominant methods and measures of capitalism and commercialism. Power and violence are rife. The only difference between many Christians and non-believers is that every now and then we might pray or go to church on Sundays. Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God as being like the one who scattered seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow he knows not how. Take a moment to reflect on this verse. It's too easy to miss the message, like the parish who thinks that its task is to build a kingdom, strong, efficient, and highly organized, perhaps forgetting that it is God who sows, and God who gives growth. This does not mean that we do nothing. I heard of a gardener showing her garden to a visitor who admiringly commented, "Isn't it great what God has done in this garden?" The gardener replied, "You should have seen it when God had it on his own." The process of Christian conversion involves letting go of our own kingdoms and cooperating with God, who is building the home we most deeply yearn for in us, through us, and for us. This reflection is one of many available in Food for Faith, the book. It's available from Copy Press, the printer, or at good bookstores, you can ask there, or also online at Fishpond. If you can't find it, send me an email.